I'm Farid Gio, along with Paul Preidecker, and it's about 12:32 here at AirVenture Day 2, 84 degrees, and a wind of 1 mile per hour, so it's just...
It's a typical day at EAA,
it's
right?
It's summer in Wisconsin, but we're glad you're here. And joining us right now, Brett Pugsley, who is a Super Guppy research pilot, NASA's Super Guppy, arrived here on Sunday, and I wasn't even on the airport. I was a little bit west of here, and it immediate social media sensation when it arrived. Everybody just, there's some sort of visceral reaction, positive visceral reaction to this airplane. And what do you think that is, Brett?
Well, maybe because they first thought it was a blimp coming here. It was coming in pretty fast, right? No, it's a strange, it's an odd flying vehicle. It's really a one of a kind. I tell you what, there's different models that were made back over the years, but right now this is the only Super Guppy that is flying. There was only four Super Guppy turbines that were made. That's this model here, and we're the only one flying in the world right now. So that's what makes this plane very special, and how large it is another thing that makes it so special, and people love to come see us.
It's obviously, this is purpose-built, so what was its primary purpose?
Sure. Well, you know, way back in the 60s when we're doing the space race, trying to go to the moon, trying to beat the Russians going over there, they're building the Saturn V Stage 3 rocket, and they're building it in Long Beach, California. And it took a long time for them to put that sucker on a barge and bring it through the Panama Canal and get it over to Kennedy Space Center. To build the rocket together. So there's some entrepreneurs out in California that said, hey, you know what? We're going to go talk to NASA. We think we have an idea to help them out and get this the third stage quicker over to the Kennedy Space Center. And so they developed a plane that would fit that stage, and the rest is history. I tell you what, ever since then, we've been flying space parts around the United States, helping us out.
So did it slow down at all during the space shuttle years? Because rocketry now has evolved. It was obviously the Gemini and Apollo programs, and then kind of the space shuttle took over, and it had its own transport, but obviously there were the booster rockets. But now we're kind of getting back to where we're doing ballistic, or I should say everything's going back on top of rockets again.
Sure. You know, the interesting thing is, ever since the 60s, we've been having, like you said, we've got different types of rockets, but we've been involved in all the different parts of space. And, we've got times where we're really busy, and there's times where we haven't been as busy. But I tell you, once we got into the space shuttle era, what did we do with our plane? We're actually moving parts from all around the United States over to Kennedy Space Center to put it onto the shuttle so they could take it up to the International Space Station and build the space station. So we were still active in helping to build the space station. Right now, we're moving parts for the Orion capsule. We moved a lot of the pieces of Artemis 1 around the United States, whether it's a test article, heat shields. We brought the whole top portion from Kennedy Space Center up to Ohio. They had to do some testing in a vacuum chamber, and then we had to bring it back to the Kennedy Space Center. So we've been really involved. It's such a versatile vehicle, and since it's so huge, we can move these big objects around the United States, where you couldn't do that with a truck because you got all these bridges and all these things kind of in our way. Well, we got this mighty big plane that can move these big pieces. They just can't be that heavy.
Fair enough. If I were looking at your pilot certificate, would I see something like Super Guppy typewriting on it, or what is your qualification to fly that?
Well, so we do everything in-house, so I don't have a specific typewriting for plane. But I am checked out, of course, in the Super Guppy, and I'm one of the aircraft commanders.
So what's a crew complement for a mission where you're moving parts?
So it's pretty diverse set of folks. We have we always fly with two pilots, so we always got one who's flying, one who's monitoring, moving all the controls. We have a flight engineer who's in charge of really the engines, and he also sets all the power settings for us. So we're pretty busy, or he's pretty busy in the back. I mean, this is 1940s technology here. Like if a generator goes out, he has to turn it off so it doesn't catch fire. It's not a computer that turns the thing off, right? And then we have another flight engineer who's also his backup. We'll have a loadmaster who's involved with getting the object or cargo on and off the plane. Also, while we're flying, he goes back and make sure that it's still secure. We also fly with mechanics because it's an old airplane. We're going to have issues on the road. It happens, but they're there to fix the plane. And, it depends on our mission. Sometimes we have some special observers. It just kind of depends with what's going on. Sometimes we have an engineer with us, just depending on our payload.
I may have not either. Either I missed this or I didn't ask this before, but what is this this airplane, what's the platform it's based on before it was modified?
So all these Super Guppies were based on a KC-97. The civilian variant was the Boeing 377. Sure. So this airplane that's out there right now, it was put together back in 1982, but there's pieces of that plane that are off of a 377 and also a KC-97. I mean, if you go up there and look at the cockpit, it's a 1940s cockpit. So everybody who's listening out there, you guys got to come out here. You can't get you up in the cockpit, but you got to check out this airplane.
And it's turboprop, correct?
It is. Okay. So we have four turboprops on there. They are the T-56 engines. They're P-3 engines. And we also have C-130 props.
So as a training person, I'm trying to think about, you know, here comes a new individual who's going to be certified to fly this airplane. There's got to be something different about training. Your topics have to be a little bit different. The issues about weight and balance, the airframe itself and the shape of it. So who's put all that together?
So, that's a great question. I'll tell you
I'm guessing we're not going to get in the simulator to learn how to fly this thing.
Yeah, there's no simulator. when we first went to, because this plane actually was in France up until 1997, and we acquired this vehicle from Airbus back in 97. So we sent crews over there to train, but like you said, there's no simulator.
Yeah.
It's just, in-house, it's the flight engineers. They'll teach the pilots about all the systems because it comes from the P3 world, C-130 world. We hire flight engineers that have that background, so they teach the pilots about the systems because they're the same systems on the plane. And then really, it's just all hands on. I mean, it's just
a
little bit of pilot to pilot kind of chit chat, talk about the flying qualities of this plane and how to fly it, study the flight manual, and let's go.
Yeah, we're speaking with Brett Pugsley, who is the NASA Super Guppy research pilot. And one more question, I should probably know this just by thinking about physics, but are we pressurized in this airplane, or there is no pressurization?
So there is some pressurization. It's only in the cockpit portion.
Uh-huh.
So only just in the front part of the nose, it's pressurized. The rest, it'd be a nightmare trying to pressurize that.
Yeah.
So
just not enough bleed air for that.
So yeah, there's not enough, and it also got, you talk about the physics of the body squeezing out with all that pressure. So we only pressurize the front of the cockpit, and we can only go as high as 25,000 feet.
Sure.
So how does it fly?
Exactly how she looks. So she's a little ungainly, and she's a little slow to respond. You put an input in, and maybe about a second later, she'll react. So it will definitely tend to people who are a little bit high gain pilots. You can get into some pilot-induced oscillations, whether it's tracking the center line down the runway, or even when we flare and touch down, we can get into some porpoising going down the runway as well.
So you were just talking about the whole airship thing, and it flies seems to fly a little bit like an airship.
Yeah, sure does.
What are some other interesting flight characteristics that you've encountered in flying it?
Well, we generally try to land at about a three-point attitude. That doesn't always happen, and we have to push the nose down as soon as we touch down. If we don't get the nose down, we'll start porpoising. So you might have saw that. We probably touched down in one of our mains because we had a crosswind when we landed. But as soon as we touch down, you got to push the nose down, and then you'll get on the nose wheel, you lift both mains back up in the air, and you're kind of wheelbarrowing down the runway, which is kind of interesting, too, because you get into a good crosswind, or crosswind limitation is 20 knots, and it can be pretty challenging to track centerline and stay straight going down the centerline of the runway.
And I didn't get a close look at it walking in because the Dreamlifter got in front of it, I think, today, but is there any sort of ventral additions to it, just kind of to keep to help with a yaw and things like that, or to at least keel some extra strakes or anything?
There's nothing extra on that plane, not at all. And I tell you what, the flight...
They look like there's a few extra rivets, though.
Yeah, there's extra rivets, right? We've extended some parts. The other thing, too, the flight controls, I don't know if I mentioned this, but there's no hydraulic boosts. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are just cables
and pulleys. It's just pulley cables.
Yep, that's it.
And, kind of old-style classic.
Yep, a lot of strength. Turning the yoke, a lot of times when we're flying, like I said, the engineer, he's running the throttles, and then I got two hands on the yoke to work the crosswinds and land.
What's your call sign?
Pugs.
Pugs, all right.
Yeah, pretty easy after the last name.
Yeah.
And you flew fast movers before this, right?
I sure did. I used to fly F-18s in the Navy.
Oh, wow. So this is different.
It is. It's much slower.
Do you think you could trap with this thing? Without assuming the superstructure is not in the way.
Yeah, I put a tail hook on. I'm sure we can get her aboard.
I had another question about the flight characteristics, and it's already fallen out of my brain.
I feel overcome with sadness about the parade.
I know, because we're going to be so illuminating about...
What about the range?
The range? It really depends on our payload.
There's no area refueling.
No area refueling, okay. No. And so when we had that payload, we were going from Ohio down to Florida, we only had a range of about 300 miles. And that's just based because we had a 48,000-pound load on the aircraft.
So this gets attention, right? So when you land at an airport, is it automatically a tourist attraction, or sometimes you're just in and out?
For the most part, yes, people are watching. They know where the Guppy is flying. I tell you, you know, one of our favorite spots is to drop through Phoenix, Mesa Gateway. I think the second to last time I was there, we had two news helicopters out there watching us come in, and about 300 folks just waiting to see us land and come chat with us while we're refueling and getting some food.
Is there the nose is opening light? That needs to be that goes off if the clasps are not working in the front there where the nose pivots.
No, we don't have any kind of light like that. But I mean, to close the nose, if you want to ask that question, there we've got 22 basically hydraulic bolts that come through and latch on up to hold it together. But no, there's no light. So if the nose is about to fall off, we have no idea.
How long are you here for?
We're here till Thursday morning. We'll be taking off at 8:30 in the morning.
Brett, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. It was a great time. Good chat with you.
We've been speaking with Brett Pugsley, NASA Super Guppy research pilot. You're listening to EAA Radio.